Praise the Lord. Yeah. It's a great time of year, isn't it? Merry Christmas. And the children and parents and time of the feast, the great Christian feast of Christmas, the incarnation. My voice is a little funny because I lost it, and I've been looking for it. We went on a 9-day trip to Europe and Baku, maybe up on the screen. We were here in Heidelberg. See, right here. Heidelberg, Germany, one day. And then we went on the next day to our primary place here, Baku, Azerbaijan. Many of you are aware of the fact that through about 40 years of mission work, we have been in Europe. And the last 25 years, we went to, actually longer period, but we moved here to Hungary. And through the years, we planted churches in Central Asia, Eastern Europe. We did 24 church plants in a 10-year period in the Soviet, former communist countries. The reason of going to Baku was to preach there for 6 days with Pete Westera and Todd Parsons and pastors that came from Moscow. They came from Finland, Turkey, way over here, Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan. And I want to say thank you for your prayers and your love and your giving and your believing. We are connected. It's amazing when Pastor Ilgar in Baku can quote messages from Baltimore that they hear live streamed from our IT department here in Baltimore. Give IT department a big hand. That's our super brain guy, Paul Nye, and his team, Sebastian and Matt and others. Cody, thank you. It is Christmas season, and in Central Asia, former Soviet era, Islamic area, part of the world, but a hunger and a desire for the freedom that is in the Spirit of Christ and the mind that we have in Christ. It's amazing. This morning, Pastor Bob Colban is going to give a message on our theme today. Give him a hand. Praise the Lord. Yeah. And he's going to share on the incarnation. The incarnation was not only in Bethlehem, when Christ came in Bethlehem, but then Christ left. And where is the incarnation? But here. Because Christ is here. After Christ was raised, there was the post-resurrection appearances of Christ as a man. They could touch him. Put their hand in the side of his wound and know that this was indeed the one crucified for us. But then Christ is here in the body of Christ and all the members of the body of Christ around the world. And believe me, they are the same as we are today. That meaning that Christ is in the world in China, India, Africa, around the world. The same spirit, the same mind, the same Bible, the same love. It's amazing. But there's one more period coming, a period coming where God is in the flesh manifested, when Christ returns and he will come back as a man glorified with us and set up his kingdom here on the earth. I would not believe it except he came the first time as a babe in Bethlehem. I would not believe it except I believe he was raised from the dead after he was crucified on our behalf. I would not believe it unless there was a Pentecost where the Spirit of God came down upon the believers and they had the power of Christ. And I would not believe it except Christ came into my life and he changed my heart and gave me his love. I would not believe it except I'm here with you and you know the same thing that I know. I would not believe it except we bear witness to that reality as we live in the 21st century in a very troubled world with an amazing message of the incarnation, that God so loved the world that he came on our behalf. How amazing that is. Wow. I love this time of year, not only because my wife says, "What do you want for Christmas?" But I love this time of year because we're out in the street caroling. I love this time of year because we go to the nursing homes and look and seek for people that are needy. Santa Claus, as the legend goes, made toys for disadvantaged children. The Spirit of God is to care for those that don't have. I love this time of year because we celebrate God's love. Isn't it amazing? Well, I want to make a note. One of our Christmas nights, we're asking body members to make a $5, $1, $5 investment in a little gift, and you bring it to church that night. And then after the service, you give it to somebody, whoever you want to. Probably if you've been a good boy or a good girl, you get one. Somebody will come to you. You've been a wicked boy or a good girl. In this church, you'll get one anyway. And somebody probably, I don't know. But it's just come to that church. What night is that? The 18th, December 18th. Put it on your calendar. Come and celebrate with us by giving out a gift. Are the cookies that night too? And then afterwards, we're going to go out there and have cookies and hot chocolate. It'll be on the 18th. This Wednesday, we have the children's play, Christmas play. Come on out. Enjoy the time. Excuse me. And enjoy the season. Don't forget the New Year's Eve service here. New Year's Eve, January 31st. We have December 31st. We have an amazing, beautiful time that night. 8 o'clock in the evening till 12. We get on our knees before the hand strikes 12. And we pray before God brings us into the next year with thanksgiving. It's a great time of year. Now for the offering. Give. The end of the year. Go through your financial statement. Have you been tithing? At the end of the year, go through your finances. Don't overspend on Christmas. It's your business. But if you listen to Dave Ramsey on the radio, he's your financial counselor for the Christian faith. And he says, tithing is part of my budget. Do it. God, not because Dave Ramsey says so, because God says so. Go through your finances and take a look at how you've been doing through the year in giving. And be a big giver. Be a big giver. Jonathan Wesley said, when I die, I want to have zero amount of money. He made, I think it was £28, $50 a year for all that he did. And when his income increased, he gave it away What an amazing example. Maybe when we die, we want to have a lot of money for our kids, but don't trust your kids. Give it away. I got to, that's preaching to myself, because if I preach that, I got to do it too, right? I'm not saying, I don't know how you handle that, I don't care. But sometimes people, they save money, and then they die. I read about an attorney here in Baltimore. He lived like that. He saved his money, big amount of money. He fell off a ladder and died one afternoon in a sudden accident. Well, what good does my money do when I could be giving it away? How I could serve others, how I could serve the faith, serve the church, how much money can be used to bless the work of God and the orphans and the people that are in great need. We are blessed people. Give in the offering today. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you pray with me? Father, we pray you. Thank you for our church. Thank you for the message we're about to hear. Thank you, Father, for the mission. Thank you for the giving heart. Thank you for the love that is behind it. Thank you for the children that were on the stage and all the families that are behind these little ones that make it possible for them to go to school, wear clean clothes, and eat every day. We are blessed people. Bless this Christmas season in every way. In Christ's name, amen. God bless you.
Good morning. Now I know what it feels like to be in the bullpen of a major league pitcher. You sit in the bullpen, you get prepared, and you don't know if you'll be called on or when you'll be called on, and you just got to be ready when the time comes. So, hey, I just wanted to welcome Pastor Mike Cook and Barb right here, dear friends of ours and friends of this ministry, and it's great to see them, and hopefully I got the story right. I got to tell this little story about them. We've known each other for probably about 34 years, something like that, from up in the Burn Hills Church, which now is Malta. And I think if I have the story right, we used to have a midweek service Thursday nights, and Pastor Dave Moore would invite guests from Lenox to come over, because we were only like an hour and a half away from the Bible school at that point. And he would bring people over, and a lot of times he'd bring them over, or they'd come over, and then I think it was this restaurant, Flavorland. Was that where it was? Just kind of like a Friendly's or something like that. And Pastor Moore was in a booth with, I forget who it was, the guest speaker for that night. And they were talking and fellowshipping. And either the booth across from them or behind them or right around them were the cooks who were saved, but maybe not going to a church or going to a church. Yeah, whatever. He doesn't remember. It was 33 years ago. Probably don't even remember the story, do you? So, but anyway, they were there. And when Pastor Moore and the guests got up to leave, I think you stopped them and said, hey, like, what church you go to or whatever? We've been eavesdropping on your conversation. And didn't you go with them that night? You came to church that night and never looked back, you know? So you never know who's listening to your conversations. So anyway, I just thought I'd tell that story. Okay, so anyway, it's just a good way to segue into a message. Okay, so you can open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, and we'll eventually get there. The theme, I don't have the card with me, but I believe is, great is the mystery of godliness is the theme for today in our series. And okay, just give me a sec here. So I was thinking this morning, just considering this theme of, in 1 Timothy 3:16, Paul talks about the mystery of godliness, and then he also says let me read that to you. You don't have to turn there. Let me read that portion to you. And he says in 1 Timothy 3:16, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the nations, believed on in the world, and received up into glory." And we've been talking and celebrating. We celebrate this time of year the Christmas story, as we call it, which is the Jesus being born, God coming in the form of a man being born in Bethlehem. And I was thinking this morning about myself and how familiar we can become with that story. And we just say it so quickly and, oh yeah, this is Christmas, and yeah, Jesus was born in a manger, and that's what we celebrate. And then I started thinking about what am I really saying, and what does that really mean to us as believers, and the magnitude of that event. My wife and I were talking on the way down about eternity past, and we both said to each other, we can't even think about this, in the sense of like that God existed before the world ever existed. That God always was. He is this infinite being that exists in the world, not in the world, but existed outside of the world before the world was ever formed. And in Genesis chapter 1, it just says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I was thinking about this, like, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I mean, what are we saying? That this God who created everything and spoke it all into existence long before we were ever born, that this infinite being of God at a point in time decided to insert himself into this world. And he created it, and he created Adam and Eve, and they went and populated the earth. And this whole idea of this infinite being that we can't really wrap our minds around totally, coming and becoming, not just coming to the earth, but the way that he came to the earth. You know, I love when God spoke to Job in Job chapter 38, and Job was having this debate with God and speaking with God about different things, and in some ways challenging God, and his friends were. And God said simply to Job, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth?" And you know, Job shut up after that. He had very little to say after that. One statement from God, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth?" This is the God that we're talking about. We're talking about this God that is infinite, that is uncreated, that always existed. And at some point, he created the earth. At some point, he populated the earth. And at some point, he chose to insert himself into the earth. And what did he do? Well, we read the story here in Luke chapter 2. And when Mary was with child, and it says in verse 6, in Luke chapter 2, "And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." So here is this God that could choose to come to the earth any way he wanted to. You know, I was Googling today. I know last time I did an offering, I said, don't Google stuff. It's crazy. Read the Bible. It's better. But I kind of wanted to see what Roman and Greek gods look like. You know, like I've seen the statues and stuff, but I was just curious, so I Googled it, and it's interesting that they're all the women are beautiful and very strong-looking women, and the men are like these, Hercules kind of figures. They're jacked and, you know, built and huge and with a spear and fiery hair and all this kind of stuff. And this is the picture of the gods that people had, and you know, Jesus or God could have inserted himself into this world in many different ways. He could have come that way. And you know, he will come that way eventually, not as a Greek god, but as a ruling, victorious warrior type and stand on the Mount of Olives. And he will someday come that way. But you know, he chose to come a different way. And he came as the most, the tiniest of creatures, a little baby. I mean, of all the choices that God could have done, he chose to come as a baby and actually be born and go through the whole birth process. And, you know, it's amazing. We just had another granddaughter the week before Thanksgiving, and my wife and I went up there to my son and daughter-in-law's house, and we were there when she came home from the hospital with a baby 3 days old, and, you know, you forget how small and tiny and precious they are. And I remember looking at that baby, and it's like a full, you know, in a sense, it's a full person. It has all the faculties, everything. But yet it's also totally dependent upon the mother and father for substance to grow. And, you know, this is what God chose to do, to come to the earth in the most small, precious, and really put himself dependent upon man. Like the God that created it all, this amazing God puts himself now in the place of dependence upon man for his very survival. It's interesting, isn't it? I mean, really, God, in a sense, placed himself at the mercy of man, mercy of men. And I was thinking, you know, here it says that he was wrapped in a swaddling clothes, kind of like a diaper. And in Job, it says this, that God swaddled the earth with darkness. Think about that picture, okay? Here you have the God that swaddled the earth with darkness, and then you have that same God being swaddled by his mother and father. And he chose to do this. He chose to come to the earth that way and inserted himself into this world. Could have come as a Greek god, could have come as a warrior, but instead in Philippians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, it says that he came, he made himself of no reputation. He took the form of a servant, came in the likeness of men, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, and was born of a woman. It's amazing when you think about it. This is how he came. And this is how he revealed himself to the world to start with. Came as a little infant, totally dependent upon his parents and upon man for his survival. And we know that this was God's plan, and we know that God's hand was upon him. You know, and he could have come as that conquering hero, but the reality is that he did not come this time to conquer the world, but when he came the first time to this earth, he came to save the world. And you know, like we celebrate Christmas, and we think about the Christmas story, and we think about Jesus, and we think about all that he did and the example that he was. But really, there is only one purpose why he came as a baby in the manger that day. And it's amazing that the angels, in Luke chapter 2, when the angels announced to the shepherds that Christ was born, they said in verse 11, Luke 2, 11, he said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." A conquering God is born for you today. Not some sort of deliverer from, you know, the Roman occupation is born today. But what is born today? A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He came as a Savior. When the angel spoke to Joseph, his stepfather, about Mary being pregnant, and the angel said, "She shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall" what? "Save his people from their sin." That's why he came, to save people. He came as a Savior. We know in the second coming he will come as that warrior. He will come as that ruler. But this time he came as a Savior to save his people from their sin. So it's amazing to think about this God who created all, put everything in motion, populated the earth, and now humbles himself and comes as a baby to save us from our sin. And not only did he come to save us, but I was thinking of this story because he saved us from our sin, but it doesn't stop there. That's not all that he did. And I was thinking of this analogy that only goes so far, but, you know, I was thinking if somebody was a criminal and they had done, maybe murdered somebody or something like that, and they get caught and they come into court and they get tried and they get convicted of a crime and maybe sentenced to death. And, you know, during the process, when the judge finally pronounces the sentence, Maybe somebody else in the courtroom stands up and says, Your Honor, I would like to take that man's place. And just what you do, you understand what you're saying? That man is going to be put to death for his crime. And the guy says, yeah, you can put me to death for his crime. And you know, that man that walked into the courtroom as a criminal and then stood there before the judge and was convicted now walks out of that courtroom a free man. He walks in a criminal. He walks out a free man. But the reality is he a changed man? He's actually the same man that walked in. There's been no change in who he is as a person, in his soul. And the same man that walked in as a criminal walks out, in a sense, the same person that he walked in. And he could say, I'm free. I have no convictions on my record, which is true. But he's also the same person. There's been no inward transformation. And he could even say, you know what? Because of what that man did for me, I want to live a good life now. It's like the everybody see Saving Private Ryan? Where the soldier is dying and he says to the guy, you know, live a good life, you know, make it worthwhile. And then the man, when he's dying, he's at the grave of this man that kind of died in his place. And he says, I hope I lived a good life for you. And you know, that's what this man could do. He's convicted, but he goes free. He's totally free. He's out in society. And he could say, I want to become a good person. I want to make this worth something. I got a fresh start. But the reality is he has no power. He is not a changed man. He is the same man that went into that courtroom with maybe good intentions, but no authority, no power in his life to make a change. And you know, if Christ just came as a savior and died for us on the cross, was born and died for us on the cross, we would be like that man. We would say, thank you, Lord, for what you did for me, but we would be powerless in our lives to affect any change because we're the same person, except now we're forgiven. You understand what I mean? This guy here, you know, and have you ever met people that have, I want to change my life because of what happened to me and I got a second chance on life. And, you know, they can start out great, but then they are powerless to really affect that change. So Jesus didn't just come, born as a babe, die on the cross for us, forgive us of our sins. And I don't mean to make light of that at all. Thank God, because of that, we have a home in heaven. But also, we need to live our lives here. And, you know, what Christ did is he was born into this world. God was born into the world. He died on the cross. But then also, he gives us the opportunity for him to be born in us. So the mystery of godliness is what? One, that Christ came into the world, he lived, he died, he was resurrected, and for the forgiveness of sin, but the second part of it is that he came to live in us. You know, this man who, you know, is a criminal and gets set free needs to have somebody that takes him by the arm and says, hey, you know, you can be different. And Christ comes and he is born in us. And he gives us, it says in John chapter 1, that to those that receive him, he gives the power to become a son of God. You know, so Christ didn't just come to the earth, do what he did for pay for our sins, but then he says, hey, I want to be born in you. You know, he came up here to Nicodemus, and what did he say? He said in John chapter 3, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, I don't understand this, Jesus. How could this happen? He said, you need to be born of the Spirit. You know, Christ needs to be born in us. Because without that, we are ineffective. We will say, thank you, Lord, but go out and continue to sin. And we'll say, thank you, Lord, and I'm going to do better for you, but be unable to do it. We will say, thank you, Lord, that's great that you died for me. I appreciate that. But then all of a sudden, or the old influences come back, you know. The old influences come back, and all of a sudden, we're the same person. But God didn't leave us there. God said, hey, I want to be born in you. I want to give you the mind of Christ. You can become a brand new creature in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Like, it's amazing. Like, he comes, he forgives us, but then he comes and empowers us to be Christians. You know, not that we have to say, well, I can do better for you, God, but no, he says, I am going to do it in you. Well, Lord, I can do this, Lord. No, you can't do it. but I will do it in you. You know, we saw that with the disciples who were very inadequate until what? Till Acts chapter 2 when they received the Holy Spirit and they were empowered to go out and be witnesses. And lives, then their lives could really be changed. But up to that point, they were excited about Christ. They saw him die on the cross. They saw him be resurrected. They were excited about it, but they were powerless for their lives to change or for them to really be a witness unto him. Powerless. Forgiven. Saved. You say born again, on their way to heaven, if God forbid something happened to them. But powerless to really live a Christian life. Powerless to be changed from within. You know, powerless to be witnesses. Jesus told them to be witnesses, and they probably were like, what are we supposed to do? We don't know. How are we supposed to do this? Everything we try just falls on it. We might as well just go fishing, and that's what they did. Oh, we'd love to do this. We're supposed to be, you know, imagine them sitting around. He said to be witnesses. What does that mean? I don't know. Everything we try just doesn't seem to be working. But he told us to be witnesses, but I don't know how to do it. I can't do it. I am powerless to do it. But then all of a sudden, something happened in Acts chapter 2. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they went out with power and authority because God was birthed in them in the power of the Holy Spirit, and that's what God does for us. Yeah, he came as a baby. Yes, he died on the cross. Yes, he was resurrected, but now he is birthed in us and gives us the power and authority to be a child of God, gives us the power and authority that our lives can really be changed. So that 5 years from now, we really are different people, not because of a works program or a self-help program, but because God has done something deep in our hearts and made us different people. Except a man be born again. Christ must be born in us. And why did he do this for us? And we know the answer. It's John 3:16. It's so simple. For God so loved the world. He did it because he loved us. You know, it's interesting. If he came the first time as a conquering hero, like people, I should say, people worshiped these Roman deities. They were not God. They were gods, small g. But they feared these guys. If they did something wrong, that Zeus or Apollo or somebody would just come and crush them. And so they, if you go to the Roman Forum where they have the Roman ruins, and we were there once, and they still have these amazing temples that were built to all of these false gods. And the people would go and they'd make offerings. Why? Because out of fear. They feared these deities, so they worshiped these deities, so they offered unto these deities. And, you know, Christ could have come that way as that type of God and said, you better worship me or else. You know, he could have, right? They worship these deities out of fear. Some people worship deities to get favor with them or to avoid their displeasure and wrath. But God was never like that. He gave us a free will to accept or reject, gave us a free will. And he did it all not so that he could gain our worship or our attention because we feared him, but he did it because he wanted us to know how much he loved us. I came as a babe. I lived amongst you. You know, I understand what you go through. Could a Roman god say, I understand what you, all he is a thing of marble? He doesn't understand anything about us, but God came in the form of a baby and was raised and swaddled. The God who swaddles the earth with darkness allowed himself to be swaddled and diapered by his mom and dad. Because he loves us, and he wanted to say to us, I know what you're going through. I understand it. And we can say, God, you can't. How can you understand it, God? You've never lived. Did you ever say that to God? You've never lived where I lived. You don't know what I'm going through. Did you ever go through this, God? And he said, I walked on this earth. I've walked on this earth as a man. I understand. I understand. I did it because I love you. I could have came in the clouds and forced you to worship me, but because I love you, I came and I identified with us and lived with us. And then not only did that, but then died, and not only did that, but then empowered us to be a son of God. That's amazing. And he did it because he loves us. And he's given to us a ministry. We have a ministry of reconciliation. We have a ministry. Now that he has empowered us, saved us, and empowered us, now he asks us to be those witnesses. And now we can be witnesses for Christ, not because we have achieved something on our own, but because he has empowered us to speak for him and reveal Christ to him, or have a conversation at a restaurant that somebody overhears, you know, whatever it may be. But now we are God in the flesh, revealing that loving God to people the same way that he revealed it to us. And we are his witnesses, and we are the body of Christ, and we are his representatives. We are his ambassadors on this earth, representing this eternal, amazing God. You know, sometimes we feel so inadequate to represent him, but it's really not us representing him, it's Christ in us representing him. And it's an amazing calling that we have as believers. We've been saved. We've been empowered. We've been given a commission. We have an amazing body of believers to serve with. And through what we do, Christ is revealed to this world in the flesh. People say, I have never seen God. Well, actually, you have. Look at the body of Christ, and you have seen God. The fullness of Christ dwells in his body. And you might say, I've never seen him, but you have seen him. I don't know what he's like. Well, this is what he's like. And we're imperfect, and sometimes we feel, like I said before, so inadequate to represent him, but it's him. You know, he speaks through us, and sometimes people will say stuff to like, I knew you were a Christian. How'd you know? I never said anything to you. I knew there was something different about you. Well, you didn't say a word. Well, Christ was revealed through you because he is revealing himself to people through us, as imperfect as we are. So he came in the flesh. Now he has us in the flesh to reveal his son, his purpose, his love, the life that he has for people. You know, it breaks my heart sometimes when we go soul winning and we run into a lot of believers. Probably, I want to say 75-80% of the people we talk to profess Christ. And it's sad sometimes because they have it all, but yet they have and experience nothing. You know what I mean? They have Christ, and he has a great life for them. But because, for many different reasons, they're not experiencing the fullness of what Christ has for them. And he came to give us life and life more abundantly. And it's always sad to see believers that accept life something less than what God has for them. I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. That's the life that God has for us, that he wants us to live. That started in that baby in a manger being swaddled and is now active and alive. He is alive in our lives. And we are his representatives here on earth. He's no longer here in the flesh, but yes, he is, because he dwells with us and amongst us. So, amen. Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you for what you have done for us, what you are doing in our lives, the future that we have, the purpose that we have. Thank you for humbling yourself, coming to this earth, inserting yourself into this earth as a baby. And we are forever, eternally grateful for what you've done for us, God. And if you're here today and maybe you've never received Christ as your personal Savior, maybe you don't quite know what that means, maybe God has never been born in you. I don't know how to do it, you might say. It doesn't make sense to me. Well, it's very simple. It's just asking. Salvation is a free gift. We talk about gifts during the Christmas season. Well, here's one that God is offering to you for free. A free gift of salvation. And it's there and it's in front of you. And all God says is, will you pick up that gift and receive it for yourself? And if that's you this morning, if you say, I want to receive that free gift, and just say in your hearts, Lord, come into my life, save me, be birthed inside of me so that I can have the power to have a changed life, to become a son of God. And if that's you this morning and you've prayed that, Maybe for the first time, just lift up your hand high so we could see it, so the ushers can see that hand. If there's anybody out there. Anybody receiving Christ this morning? Maybe on the internet, if you're listening to this, maybe you say, I've never had Christ birthed in my life. Well, today you can. Unless a man or a woman be born again, they cannot see the kingdom of God. So, Father, we pray today, and again, we're just so thankful that you came and humbled yourself, died on the cross for us, and then empowered us to live this life as your ambassadors. So thank you for the service this morning, and just bless each one today. In Jesus' name, amen.